الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يحده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده رسوله ما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. In the last lesson that we had, we looked at three statements, or we were looking at three statements in the previous few lessons, and this was the statement of At-Tahawi rahimahullah, خلق الخلق بعلمه, that he created the creation with his knowledge. وَقَدَّرَ لَهُمْ أَقْدَارًا, and that he decreed for them their decrees. وَضَرَبَ لَهُمْ أَجَالًا, and he specified for them, or he set for them, their lifespan. And so with this we mentioned that here At-Tahawi is entering into the discussion of Al-Qada wal-Qadr, and the next dozen or so sentences or statements in his creed are all in relation to Al-Qada wal-Qadr. And so we're going to continue inshallah ta'ala from where we left off. And so we begin, and we're going to go through the commentary of Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan hafizahullah. And so we continue here with point number 31, as it is in this book. Obviously if you have a different text, the numbers will differ, but in the book of Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, this is point number 31. And so At-Tahawi says, وَلَمْ يَخْفَ عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ قَبْلَ أَن يَخْلُقَهُمْ, that nothing was hidden from him, nothing was hidden from him before he created them. And meaning that nothing was hidden about his creation even before he created them. And the Shaykh comments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the knower of all things. Allah knows all things before they even exist, before they're even found. And it is not the case that he only knows after he creates and after things after things come into existence, because this was the saying of some of the people of Al-Qadr, and likewise the saying of some of the Jahmiya, that Allah only knows the things after they come into existence, and this is false. So At-Tahawi here is rebutting this belief that nothing is hidden from him about his servants before he created them. And so this shows Allah's all-encompassing knowledge about his creation, even before he created the creation. Then At-Tahawi says, وَعَلِمَ مَا هُمْ عَامِلُونَ وَعَلِمَ مَا هُمْ عَامِلُونَ قَبْلَ أَن يَخْلُقَهُمْ, that Allah, that he knew that which they were going to do. So he knew that which his servants were going to do in their actions before he even created them. Okay, so first of all he said nothing is hidden from Allah even before he created his creation. And likewise, Allah knew exactly what his servants would do before he even created them. And the Shaykh comments upon this and says that he knew, that Allah knew that from his servants that this person will be a person of obedience, and this person will be a person of disobedience. He knew about all of his servants and exactly what they would do and what they would be upon, whether obedience or whether disobedience, before he even created them. So this shows Allah's knowledge, Allah's foreknowledge, Allah's prior knowledge of everything in his creation and everything that his servants, each and every single one of his servants, would be upon, that he would perform. Okay, then At-Tahawi says, وَأَمَرَهُمْ بِطَاعَتِهِ وَأَمَرَهُمْ بِطَاعَتِهِ وَنَهَاهُمْ عَنْ مَعْصِيَتِهِ. So then he says that Allah, he commanded them with his obedience, and he prohibited them from his disobedience. He prohibited them from his disobedience. So the Shaykh says that this we find in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا خَلَقُتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, in this well-known verse, Surah Al-Dhariyat, Surah 51, verse 56, Allah says, I have not created the jinn and men except that they may worship me. And so he created them first. So remember that, because At-Tahawi is mentioning all of these things in a particular order and with a particular significance as it relates to Al-Qadr, because he is developing the step by step and stage by stage, he's developing the creed of Ahlul Sunnah with respect to Al-Qadr. And so he said first, Allah knew everything. Nothing was hidden from him before he created the creation. And then he said that he knew everything that his servants would do before he even created them. And so now he says, and then he ordered them with obedience and prohibited them from disobedience. So this means now he's created them. So after creating them, and so Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan takes this up and he says that here Allah mentions in Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I did not create men and jinn and men, except that they may worship me. So Allah created them first. So before that, he knew everything about them and exactly what they would be upon. And then he created them. And then after he created them with his full knowledge about them, he then ordered them to worship him alone. And then he ordered them with obedience and he prohibited them from disobedience. And at the same, this is alongside Allah's perfect knowledge of every single thing that they would do. So the point that we need to understand here, because now there's a question, there are two things. One is Allah's knowledge, and the second is the actions of the servants. So what is it that determines whether a person is punished or rewarded? Is it on the basis of Allah's prior knowledge, or is it on the basis of the actions of the servants? Because this is an important issue, because it helps us to avoid falling into the mistake and the trap and the misunderstanding of those who deviated in the matter of Al-Qadr from the Qadariyya and the Jabariyya and other than them. So the question is, on what basis does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish or reward his servants? Is it on the basis of his prior knowledge, right, his eternal prior knowledge of all of the servants? Or is it on the basis of what they themselves perform of their actions? And the answer is that the recompense and the recompense for the servants is directly related and results from their actions. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not punish any individual merely on account of his prior knowledge, meaning from his prior knowledge about his servants. So it's not based upon ilm, the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, it is, so even though Allah knows that a servant will, for example, be obedient or be disobedient, even though Allah knows this, the actual punishment is based upon the action of the servant when he falls into either a sin or when he, you know, performs the good deeds. So therefore, the point that we make here is that recompense, al-jaza, the recompense for everyone is based upon his actions. It is not based upon Allah's prior knowledge, nor is it based upon al-qadr. So you need to be clear about this, right? It is not based upon the fact that Allah knew every single thing, and nor is it based upon the fact that Allah wills every single thing, and nor is it based upon the fact that Allah creates the actions of the servants, because he at the end of the day, he created them, he gave them a will, he gave them faculties. Right, so even all of that, none of that is the basis upon which a person is either rewarded or punished. Rather, it is upon his own actions, the fact that actions arise from him. Right, so we need to be clear about this issue, and this will help us to avoid the confusions and the mistakes of the people who deviated in Al-Qadr. And so therefore, when Allah created the creation, he then sent messengers and he revealed books. And in these books and through these messengers, he ordered them to worship him alone. He explained the reason for their creation, the wisdom for their creation, and how to obey him, and how to, you know, enter paradise, and how to avoid the hellfire. So then he commanded them and prohibited them. And so anyone who obeyed him would be rewarded, and anyone who opposed his commands would be punished. So the essence of the issue here is that a person, he falls into or he acquires reward or punishment on account of his own actions, not the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, we make a distinction again, because there are Allah's action of creating and willing and commanding and prohibiting, you know, these are Allah's actions. And there are the actions of the servants, the actions that they themselves perform. So reward and punishment, its basis is upon the actions of the servants, not upon the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because it is the servant, it is the servant of Allah who prays when he prays. Right? So even though Allah is the one who essentially creates the actions of the servants, in the sense that he gave them the will, the choice, and the faculties with which to think and to make decisions, and the limbs with which to perform actions out of their choice, as a result of which they pray, or they fast, or they do righteous deeds, or they sin and fall into disobedience, and so on and so forth. The actions are actually performed by them. They're not performed. It is the servant who is the one who prays and he fasts and he makes hajj and so on and so forth. So that actions are ascribed to him, even though we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the angle of creating and decreeing and giving success to a servant, that all of that is, you know, comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so anyway, this is a point that we should be very, very clear about. And then At-Tahawi says after this, وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ يَجْرِي بِتَقْدِيرِهِ وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ يَجْرِي بِتَقْدِيرِهِ, that every single thing proceeds upon his taqdeer. Upon his taqdeer, meaning upon his prior determination and estimation of all things. So everything proceeds upon that. So the Shaykh says, there is no doubt that everything is by his taqdeer, by his determination and estimation. Nothing exits, nothing is outside of the taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is good or evil, or whether it is obedience or disobedience, or whether it is belief or disbelief, or whether it is disease or health or disease, or whether it is poverty, poorness or richness, or whether it is knowledge or ignorance. Every single thing, all of it proceeds on account of the taqdeer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, whatever Allah has decreed, whatever is in his knowledge, whatever is written down, whatever he wills, whatever he brings into existence by his actions, all of that, everything proceeds in accordance with that. Then At-Tahawi says, وَمَشِيئَتُهُ تَنْفُذُ وَمَشِيئَتُهُ تَنْفُذُ, that the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fulfilled or executed. لَا مَشِيئَةَ لِلْعِبَادِ إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ لَهُمْ, and the servants do not have any will, independent will, except what Allah wills for them. فَمَا شَاءَ لَهُمْ كَانَ, so whatever Allah wills for them, it occurs. وَمَا لَمْ يَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ, and whatever he does not will, it will not occur. So now, At-Tahawi is now introducing Allah's will. Allah's will and the servant's will. And again, this is an important issue again. So Allah's will and the servant's will are two separate matters, and we believe that there is a connection between them, in the sense that a servant's will is dependent and follows on from Allah's will. So we as Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah, we make that connection between the two. As for the people of innovation, as we shall see, then they do not see that connection, and they distinguish and separate between the two. So the Shaykh says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has a will, and the servants have a will. However, the will, the mashi'ah, meaning this ability to choose things and to desire things and to choose things, that the will of the servants is tied to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not independent. And for this reason, we see there are proofs in the Qur'an for this, because in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in Surah Al-Insan, Surah 76, verse 30, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. That you do not will, except as Allah wills. Indeed, Allah is all-knowing and all-wise. And we see in another verse, Allah says in Surah At-Takwir, the 81st Surah, Surah 81, verse 29, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءُ اللَّهِ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That you do not will, except as Allah wills, the Lord of the worlds. So we see that Allah here in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has affirmed for Himself that He has a will, and this will is from His attributes. And we see that He's also affirmed for the servants, for the creatures, that they too have a will, and this will is from their attributes. And then He tied His own will to the will of the servants. So He tied the will of the servants to His own will, because He said that you do not will except as Allah wills. So therefore we see a firm and solid connection between the will of the servants and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so in these verses is a refutation of the two groups of the Qadariyya. The Qadariyya are the ones who deviated on this matter. So from them were those, the first group, who were the Qadariyya. The Qadariyya are the ones who denied Al-Qadr. They denied Al-Qadr. And what they said, and in fact there were two groups of them. There's one group who are the extreme group, and they denied Allah's prior knowledge, that Allah knows things before they occur, before they are brought into existence. And they were the extreme group. But the other group, the less extreme group, the main Qadariyya, which are represented by the Mu'tazila, because the Mu'tazila in the second century, they are the ones who acquired and inherited the bid'ah of the Qadariyya, and it became one of their major hallmarks. And so this group of Qadariyya, they denied that Allah's will has any role in the actions of the servants. And so they basically said that the servants have a completely independent will outside of Allah's will. That there is no connection between what Allah wills and between what the servants will. And the reason they said this is because to them, and this is from their poor understanding, is that they could not understand how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish a people if their actions are determined by His will. Right? So they fell into this confusion. And so what they said was that really, in order for true justice, for there to be the idea of true justice, it must be the case that the servants create their own actions completely outside of Allah's will and Allah's control. Right? And only then can justice really be said to be established in terms of whether they get punished or whether they get rewarded for their actions. And so this is a mistake on their behalf. And so they severed the link between the will of Allah and the will of the servants. And so they denied that the servant has they denied that Allah has any control or will over the actions of the servants. And so essentially they said that a servant, he has an absolute, unrestricted will, meaning his choice is completely independent, and that he creates his own actions, his own choice, his own will. All of this is from himself. So this is the madhab, the view of the Qadariyya. And the other group were the Jabariyya, and they basically said that the servant does not have any will. He has no will at all, no will at all. Rather, the will belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and every single thing that occurs, it occurs purely by His will, without any choice or decision or choice or will in being involved for His servants. And so the way they treated the servant, the way they treated the people, the creatures of Allah, is just like, for example, you have a plant in the wind, and the wind blows the plant, so the plant moves without its own choice. The plant has no choice except to move along with the wind. Okay? And so this is how they treated the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how they treated mankind. That mankind, the people, when they make their choices and decisions, they are forced. They are forced by Allah's will. Just like, as I said, the example I gave, like something being blown in the wind without its choice. It by necessity will be forced to move. And so these people, they went to the other extreme and they exaggerated in the other side and said that Allah's will is the only will, and everything else, which in and of itself is true, everything, you know, follows Allah's will, but they denied that the creatures are given their own will by which they choose and by which they choose their actions. And this group was found with Al-Jahm bin Safwan in the second century after Hijrah. And then later on, this view was taken up by the Ash'aris, the Ash'a'ira, because this view was developed by Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari in the days that he was a Mu'tazili, in the days that he left, in the time before he came to the truth. And so the Ash'aris after him, they took this idea, but they tried to invent some new terms and definitions by which to try to flee from this idea. So what they said is that we don't speak of al-jabr, we don't say that a person is compelled, but we speak of al-kasb. And they use this term, al-kasb, which means to earn. And so what they really tried to say was that a person, essentially, I mean, if we were to put it in the simplest terms, really, that a person essentially is just like a repository or a place upon which Allah's actions are effected. So the actions are the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they take place in individuals. And so it is Allah who is acting, not the individual. But because the act took place in that particular person, he earns, he makes kasb. So either he earns the good that Allah acted within him, or he earns the evil that Allah acted within him. But ultimately, it is Allah who is acting, right? And it is not the servant. But the servant, he earns whatever is acted upon him. So, but really, what they were trying to do in this view was to try and flee from the idea of al-jabr, from the jabariya, but they couldn't really escape from its clutches, right? So they tried to bring this explanation, but really, at the end of the day, when you really get down to the crux of what they're trying to say, what they're saying is no different from the jabariya. Right? It's no difference, except that they're trying to just use some words to conceal that connection and that similarity to what the Jabariya were upon. So anyway, these are the two groups, the Qadariya, who were represented by the Mu'tazila, and the Jabariya, who were initially, the Jahmiya. Al-Jahm bin Safwan in the second century was upon this view, and it was later taken by the Ash'aris, and that's what the Ash'aris are upon, and that's what remains with them. So as for Ahlu Sunnati wal Jama'ah, as for the people of the Sunnah and Jama'ah, then we say that we affirm both of the wills for Allah and for His creation. And we say that the will of Allah is tied to the will of the creation in the sense that we explained. We said, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ, that you do not will, إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ, except as Allah wills. And so after this, we see in the Sunnah a clarification of this matter as well. And we see in the hadith, which is reported by Ahmad and others, and Al-Bukhari, when a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said to the Prophet, ma sha' Allah wa shi'it, ma sha' Allah wa shi'it, that whatever Allah wills and what you will. So he used the wa, whatever Allah wills and what you will. So the messenger said to him, ajaltani lillahi nidda, that have you made me for Allah a rival? Have you made me to be a rival with Allah? Meaning, have you made me to be a partner with him in his mashi'ah? Because the man said, whatever Allah wills and what you will. So he basically equated. And so likewise, we see in another narration that it reached the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a group of people were saying, "Ma sha Allah wa sha'a Muhammad," that whatever Allah willed and what Muhammad willed. And again they said, and used the letter wa. And so the Messenger rejected this and he said, rather you should say, "Qulu ma sha Allah thumma sha'a Muhammad." This is what you should say. Say whatever Allah willed, then what Muhammad willed. Not and what Muhammad wills, but rather then what Muhammad wills. Why? Because the word thumma, it means something that follows on from. It means succession and follows on from. Whereas the letter waw, which means and, it means a tashriq. It means to make someone a partner in something. To make someone a partner in something. And so, anyway, this is the belief of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah. And so we affirm that the servants have a will, but this will follows on from Allah's will. Then At-Tahawi said, Rahimahullah, يَحْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَعْسِمُ وَيُعَافِي فَضْلًا وَيُدِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَخْذِلُ وَيَبْتَلِي عَدْلًا. So again, now pay important to this thing as well. So At-Tahawi says that Allah, He guides whomever He wills, and He protects them, and He preserves them out of His bounty. Fadl, out of His fadl, out of His bounty. وَيُدِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, and He misguides whom He wills. وَيَخْذِلُ وَيَبْتَلِي, and He abandons or forsakes, and He afflicts whomever He wills. عَدْلًا, meaning out of His justice. Right, so there are two issues here. And again, pay attention, because At-Tahawi is developing and adding, you know, these points and developing the proper conception of Al-Qadr as it is with Ahlul Sunnah. So what he's saying here is that when Allah guides and when Allah protects and preserves someone, all of that is a favor and a bounty. It is from His fadl. And when Allah misguides and punishes and afflicts and abandons and forsakes, it is from His adl. It is from His justice. So we have His fadl and we have His adl. A fadl is His bounty and adl is His justice. And so we see here that when we look at, so in other words, what we are looking at here is Allah's actions. That in Allah's actions we see either fadl or we see adl. Either we see a bounty and a favor from Allah upon some, or we see Allah's adl, Allah's justice upon others. And that's what we see in Allah's actions. And so the point here then is that Allah's fadl and Allah's adl itself is based upon what the servants harbor and perform, what they harbor in their hearts, what they seek in their hearts, and what actions they perform. And so Allah knows from His knowledge, He knows the one who seeks guidance, the one who is after guidance, and the one who turns to guidance, and the one who wants guidance. And so when Allah sees that, then Allah makes the path easy for him. So He decrees that the path will become easy for this person. And likewise Allah knows, so that is from Allah's fadl. And likewise Allah knows that there will be a person who, because of a reason in his heart, he turns away. He will turn away. He doesn't want truth. He doesn't want guidance. He doesn't want obedience. Right? He turns away from all of that. So Allah makes easy for him in His decrees the path to misguidance, deviation, calamity, affliction, and so on and so forth. Right? So Allah makes easy for him that path. And that is from His adl. That is from His justice. That is from His justice, perfect justice. And so we see, and it is that is a punishment from Allah, which is a just punishment. Just as it is a reward from Allah to those who turn to guidance, because it is from His favor and His bounty. And the proof for this is in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in Surah Al-Layl, the 92nd surah in the opening section, a few verses in. Allah says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. This means, as for the one who gave, meaning who gave in charity, and had taqwa of Allah, who feared Allah, وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى, what this means is that he believed in Al-Husna. Al-Husna means the kalima la ilaha illallah. This is what it means in this verse. Al-Husna is the saying la ilaha illallah. So meaning, Allah is saying here that the one who believed in la ilaha illallah, and then he did the righteous deeds, like giving charity and having taqwa of Allah, then Allah says, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى, we will make easy for him the path. We will facilitate for him that which is ease. And so therefore, we see in this verse, look at the proof in this verse. The proof in this verse is that the servant, first of all, he brought belief in la ilaha illallah. And then he brought righteous actions, such as giving charity in at-taqwa. And the result of that was what? The result, because Allah says, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. Allah used the letter fa, which means we therefore, meaning as a result, we then facilitated for him that which is ease. We made easy the path for him. So this shows that the reason, the sabab, comes from the servant, it emanates from the servant, and the qadr comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The qadr comes from Allah, meaning the taqdeer for making something easy upon the servant. It comes from Allah. Right? So again, try to put all of these issues together, because we've already said Allah knows from His perfect knowledge everything in the creation. He knows all of the servant's actions before He even created them. And we also said that everything occurs by His taqdeer. And we also said that there is His will and the will of the servants. And we also said that He commanded them and prohibited them. And we also say here now that He guards whom He wills and misguards whom He wills. And in all of that, there is either fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or there is the adl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in all these instances, the sabab, the underlying reason for either the fadl of Allah or the adl of Allah, it comes from the servant himself. And so when the servant brings the sabab, then Allah makes the taqdeer. So Allah brings out that taqdeer, even though it is already in Allah's knowledge, and even though it is already written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. Right? So, and then on the other side, we see that Allah says straight after, in the next three verses, وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. As for the one who became greedy and stingy, he withheld, and he considered himself to be self-sufficient, and he disbelieved in Al-Husna. Al-Husna again meaning the kalima la ilaha illallah. فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى, that we shall make easy for him the path of difficulty, the path of hardship. So again, in this example, the sabab, the reason, was brought by the servant. He brought about the reason from himself. And then the qadr is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, in this case, Allah decreed punishment upon him. And all of this is from Allah's adl. This is from Allah's justice. So therefore, we conclude from this that Allah decrees guidance as a bounty from himself. And he gives nobility to a person. The person who seeks guidance, who seeks truth, who seeks obedience, and Allah knows this from him, then Allah, he decrees for him, he decrees for him guidance. And so Allah will make easy for him the path to guidance, and he will make easy for him to practice and implement that guidance. And all of this is in the beneficial interest of the servant. Allah does not gain any benefit at all from that. The maslaha here is for who? It is for the servant. There's nothing, Allah does not benefit, there's no maslaha for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in giving fadl to His servants. Allah doesn't gain anything from them. Rather, all of it is a pure bounty from Allah to His servants. And as for when He misguides those who are astray, then again, this is a recompense because they brought that evil, they brought that sabab from themselves in that their hearts turned away from goodness, from obedience, so Allah did not wrong them. There is no dhulm in Allah's action. And this is why we find, when you look in the Quran, you find that Allah does not wrong anybody. Rather, you find that Allah does not guide certain people. So He says, for example, وَاللَّهُ لَا يَحْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah does not guide who? The wrongdoing people, the ones who commit dhulm, who wrong themselves. So dhulm. Likewise, He said, وَاللَّهُ لَا يَحْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah does not guide those who disbelieve, those who bring kufr. And likewise, He said, وَاللَّهُ لَا يَحْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Allah does not guide those who commit fisq, meaning disobedience. Sin, disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So dhulm and kufr and fisq, then all of this Allah made it to be a reason for a person not to be guided, for him not to be guided. And all of these are from the actions of the servants. They bring these actions first. So they bring these actions first. Then it is from Allah's adl that He decrees for them misguidance and punishment and so on and so forth. And so we see that Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا ظَلَمَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. That it was not Allah who wronged them, but it was they themselves who wronged themselves. Surah An-Nahl, Surah 16, verse 33. So therefore, it is not befitting that we describe Allah of injustice, or that we ascribe to any of His actions, whether it be fadl or adl upon the servants, to be unjust. So in this we are different from, as we said, the Qadariyya. Because they saw it to be, you know, their notion of what is justice and injustice was incorrect. And so they went astray on account of that. And so this is how we look at things, and this is our belief. And we see that Allah is the most just and the most wise, and Allah never ever lets the action of any individual to go to waste. Allah says, and there are many verses in the Quran in this regard. Allah says, أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ اجْتَرَحُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ أَن نَجْعَلَهُمْ كَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَوَاءً مَحْيَاهُمْ وَمَمَاتُهُمْ سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Allah says, do those who commit evil think that we will treat them to be just like those who believe and do righteous deeds, their life and their death being equal? How evil do they judge? So again, this is distinguishing between, you know, those who do righteous deeds and those who do evil deeds. How can they equate between these two? And this really is also a refutation of the people of Qadr as well. Allah does not treat them both to be the same, even though Allah wills for them, you know, their actions, and makes easy for them the path to either difficulty or ease, and so on and so forth, alongside everything that we mentioned before. Likewise, this is Surah Al-Jathiyah, Surah 45, verse 21. And likewise, we see Allah says in the same Surah, وَخَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِالْحَقِّ وَلِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. That Allah created the heavens and earth in truth, and in order that every soul may be recompensed, and they will not be wronged. Surah Al-Jathiyah, verse 22. And likewise, Allah says in Surah Al-Qalam, the 68th Surah, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. That shall we make the Muslims, those who submit, to be like the mujrimeen, those who commit sins, the criminals? What is wrong with you? How do you judge? Surah Al-Qalam, Surah 68, verse 35 and 36. And so this type of oppression, Allah has freed Himself from it. Allah does not fall into any type of oppression amongst His servants. And likewise, we see in Surah Sa'd, Surah 38, verse 28, أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وعملوا الصالحات كالمفسدين في الأرض أم نجعل المتقين كالفجار. That shall we make those who believe and do righteous deeds like those who do mischief upon the earth? Or shall we make those who have taqwa, who fear Allah and are pious, like those who are fujar, like those who are sinful? So all of this exonerates Allah from being oppressive towards His servants and from wronging them in any way or in any form. And it shows the complete and perfect justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His actions, and that the servants have none to blame themselves, and that they are only recompensed based upon what they have brought themselves of their deeds, of their actions. After this, At-Tahawi says in the next sentence, وَكُلُّهُمْ يَتَقَلَّبُونَ فِي مَشِيئَتِهِ بَيْنَ فَضْلِهِ وَعَدْلِهِ بَيْنَ فَضْلِهِ وَعَدْلِهِ. So again, just emphasizing the previous point, he says that every single one of them, meaning all of Allah's servants, they alternate, meaning they fluctuate between either His, in terms of His will, in terms of Allah's mashia, either in His bounty or His justice, either in His fadl or in His adl. Meaning every single servant, in whatever occurs to him, that the servants of Allah, they fluctuate, right? And they alternate between either being subjected to the fadl of Allah or the adl of Allah, as it relates to His will, now what He wills upon them and what He wills for them. So either He will for them that which is fadl, because He sees something from them which necessitates His fadl, or He brings upon them His adl, meaning His justice, which means punishment, because he sees something from them that necessitates that from them. And so every single servant, Shaykh Salih Fuzan, he comments here that every single servant does not escape or come outside of this fluctuation, of this alternation, as it relates to Allah's will, between His fadl or His adl. Fadl for the people of obedience, for the people of goodness, for the people of tawheed, and His adl for the people of kufr and the people of shirk. And all of this is something that ties in with Allah's perfect wisdom, His hikmah, and likewise His might, His azmah. And so we Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He puts every single thing in its proper place. Right? So every single thing is put in its proper place. And this is the definition of al-hikmah. Al-hikmah means wad'u shay' ala mawdi'ihi. This is the definition of al-hikmah. To put something in its proper place. To put it right exactly where it ought to be. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the context of what we are discussing, in His qada and al-qadr, and in His mashi'ah, and in His fadl, and in His adl, right? All of that, every single thing has been put in its absolute proper place. And for that reason, when we look at every single thing that takes place around us, whether in our own personal lives, or whether in the creation around us, at every level, whether at our own personal level, the level of the family, the level of the society, the level of the country, and everything that we see of either the fadl of Allah or the adl of Allah, then we see that every single thing has been put in exactly its proper place, and all of this is from Allah's most perfect wisdom, Al-Hikmah. From Allah's names is Al-Hakim. And from that is His attribute of Al-Hikmah. And so then after this, At-Tahawi says, وَهُوَ مُتَعَالٍ أَنِ الْأَضْدَادِ وَالْأَنْدَادِ. That He is lofty and exalted from having any opponents or any rivals. From having any opponents or from having any rivals. And about this, the Shaykh comments and he says, first of all, At-Tahawi said, Muta'al, that Allah is Muta'al. The word Muta'al means the one who is raised and high above, with His essence, that He Himself is above all His creation. And He is high and above all of the creation in terms of His power. And He is high and above all of the creation in terms of His subjugation, that He subdues and controls them. And that in all these respects, Allah is above and beyond having any opponents. He does not have any addad, meaning any opponents. And nor does he have any andad. And andad are what we call rivals. Rivals. So pay attention. Addad, the singular for that is did. Did means that which is opposite or which is an opponent. And nid is that which is a rival. So At-Tahawi, he is saying that Allah is free from having addad and andad. From having opponents and from having rivals. And so we see that the andad, the nid, is something which is a likeness to Allah, or an equal to Allah, or something that resembles Allah. Right? An equal, a rival, a resembler. So a mathil, or a nadir, or a shabih, right? All of these are denied for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't have any nadir, meaning an equal. He doesn't have any mathil, meaning an exact like. He doesn't have any shabih, that which resembles him. And so all of this is denied from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we mean by andad, the singular of which is nid. And as for did, the plural of which is addad, then this means someone who opposes and contradicts and opposes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah does not have anyone to contend with him and to oppose him. Right? Unlike what we have with the creation. So when Allah makes a command, there is no one to contend with him. No one can contend with him. There is none who is a did to him. Unlike, for example, in the creation, when someone from the creation, he makes a decision, he makes a choice, he embarks on a course of action, he will find someone who will oppose him. Might be his friend, might be his wife, might be his son, might be his parents, might be others from the people. Everyone else from the creation has one who is a did, meaning one who can contradict him and oppose him. You say one thing, he'll say, no, I don't agree with that. You decide to do one thing, he'll say, well, I don't agree with that. And so on and so forth. So the creation, they have addad. And they have andad. As for Allah, he has no andad, and nor does he have any addad. He doesn't have any rivals, as in an equal, alike, and nor does he have any opponents who contend. He doesn't have any contenders who contend with him. And so we see Allah mentioning this in the Quran, مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. That whenever Allah opens up for mankind any mercy, no one can withhold it back. And whenever he withholds it, there is no one who can send it forth after him. And he is Al-Aziz and Al-Hakim. And likewise, the messenger said in a supplication, لَا مَانِعَ لِمَا أَعْطَيْتْ وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتْ. There is none to prevent that which you give. And nor is there anyone to give that which you prevent. So from this we conclude that Allah does not have any addad and nor any andad. And that Allah is lofty and exalted. He is muta'al, above and beyond all of that. Above all of that, from having any of that. Then At-Tahawi says, لا راد لقضائه ولا مؤقب لحكمه ولا غالب لأمره. That there is none to repel his qada, his decree, his ordainment. لا راد لقضائه ولا مؤقب لحكمه. And there is no one to overrule his judgment, to overturn his judgment. وَلَا غَالِبَ لِأَمْرِهِ. And likewise, there is none to override his command. Right? So none can repel his qada, none can overrule his judgment, and none can override his command. In all these three respects, we see that again, Allah is above and beyond his creation. Because amongst the creation, their rulings can be overturned, their commands can be overturned, overruled. Allah is unlike this. Allah is completely unlike this. And so we see in the Quran, Allah says, إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. That whenever he decrees or ordains a matter, he simply says, be, and it is. And in another verse, this is Surah Maryam, Surah 19, verse 35. In another verse, Allah says, لَا مُؤَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِهِ. La mu'akkiba li hukmihi. So we see that At-Tahawi has taken it from this verse, that there is none to overrule his command. Wa huwa sari'ul hisab, and he's quick in judgment. And Surah Ar-Ra'd, Surah 13, verse 41. And so we see here that whenever Allah decrees, ordains a matter, and whenever Allah issues a command, there is no one to prevent it from being executed, or from anyone to contradict it or to oppose it. وَلَا غَالِبَ لِأَمْرِهِ, there is none to overrule or to overcome his command. So again, whenever Allah commands something, that's it, it's final. There is no one who can come now to overrule and override it. Unlike what we see in the creation, a person issues a command, could be anybody, a leader, a ruler, a person in his family, it could be anybody in any position of responsibility, and there will be found someone who will overrule it and overturn it, and he will stop it and oppose it and so on and so forth. So Allah is unlike this, and there is no one who can overcome and override his command. So whenever Allah issues a command, and we are speaking here of Allah's command, which is kawni, not shari'i, because we distinguish between the command which is kawni, meaning that Allah commands for something to be brought into existence in the creation. So when Allah's command goes forth, and he issues a command in that regard, and it could be anything, the birth of a person, the death of a person, the guidance of a person, the misguidance of a person, the happiness of a person, the wretchedness of a person, everything that could happen in the creation, whenever Allah issues the command for it to occur, it will occur. But as for his command which is shari'i, meaning that Allah orders the servants with obedience and prohibits them from disobedience, then it may not necessarily take place. Because this is now the arena in which the servants are put to trial and tested. Right? And again, this goes back to the issue of Al-Qadar wal-Qadr that we have been discussing in this entire lesson. And so after this, At-Tahawi, he concludes this section by saying, آمَنَّا بِذَٰلِكَ كُلِّهِ آمَنَّا بِذَٰلِكَ كُلِّهِ وَأَيْقَنَّا أَنَّ كُلًّا مِنْ عِنْدِهِ, that we believe in all of that, meaning everything which has preceded, we believe in all of that. And we have absolute certainty that all of it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That all of it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning everything from Allah's decrees, and everything which comes from that, we have certainty in all of that, and likewise everything which has preceded. So the Shaykh comments upon this and says that everything which has preceded from the beginning of this creed, from the very opening statement of At-Tahawi, when he speaks about we say we're believing by Allah's success regarding Allah's tawheed, and as he continues, that from that point, right at the very beginning of the treatise, up until this point, all of that has been about the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from this point onwards, he now moves on to belief in the Messenger. وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ الْمُصْطَفَى وَنَبِيُّهُ الْمُجْتَبَى وَرَسُولُهُ وَأَنَّهُ خَاتِمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَإِمَامُ الْأَتْقِيَاءِ وَسَيْدُ الْمُرْسِلِينَ وَحَبِيبُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So we will discuss that inshallah in the next lesson. But we see that Tahawi has first discussed belief in Allah, and now he's moving on to belief in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So with that, we conclude today's lesson. If there's any questions on anything that's been said, inshallah we have a few minutes, otherwise we'll end the lesson there. Okay, we'll conclude the lesson there inshallah, and we'll continue next week. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.